8:47 the time. It's a Tuesday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. My thanks once again to Chief Jeff Calvert for stepping in this morning. If you missed any portion of that conversation, you can catch it a little bit later on today on the KXFM website. You pull down the podcast page, bam, there it is. Important conversation. You should catch it if you didn't hear the whole thing. I was telling you yesterday, as we come into our ninth year here at the radio station, I often talk about how much I love waking up and coming to work in the mornings. And I've worked dozens of other radio stations where simply that wasn't the case. I wasn't feeling that great about coming to work. Talent, creativity, knowledge of music, they were always stifled. Content was stale and there was zero relationship with the community. So when you hear us refer to the radio station as community radio, this station is truly human-crafted community radio. 9 years ago, a 23-year-old guy had an idea that had never been tried. It had no existing infrastructure or blueprint to utilize for success in this town. Less than a decade later, this tiny little local station is part of the fabric of daily life here in the community while maintaining an international presence. And it is truly a success story, funded by the support of our listeners. Joining us for the conversation this morning about our anniversary in this radio station is that 23-year-old guy, founder of KXFM, Tyler Russell. Welcome, Tyler.
Just a few years older now, though.
You're not still 23? What?
and I'm glad I'm not, actually.
Well, first of all, welcome. Thank you for calling. Happy anniversary and congratulations. And also I'll add to that, thank you for these last 9 years.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's takes a long time to have perspective on something and its importance and what it means to me and my family and to the community. I think somewhere around year 6 or 7, like I finally realized what it really was. And now at year 9, going into a full decade, I think the identity has been cemented and the importance has been cemented. But they say it takes 7 years to be an overnight success. And I really felt that with KX.
Right. And I want to, on Friday, you posted a 2012 picture on social media of you and your dad on the roof installing the antenna. If you can remember that moment, and as you look back on that moment, the support that you got from your parents for that wild idea that you had, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I remember it very vividly. In fact, my dad probably doesn't get enough credit for being the actual person who came up with the idea. In fact, I should say that most of my ideas are come up with by other people. I just go out and execute them. But I'm really good at doing it, but not ever as good at originating it. Anyway, I was working a radio job I really didn't like very much in Palm Springs, and doing all those things you just listed as part of the negative side of radio, you know, just kind of having this stale, on-air, stagnant feeling that nobody really cared what we were doing, and the music we were playing was the same 40 songs that every other station of the same format played across the country. And my dad was indeed the one who floated the idea one day, you know, why don't you go start your own radio station? He's a lifetime entrepreneur, so that's not, you know, not a daunting thing for him. But for me at the time, at 21 or 2, I was like, no way. How is that even possible? But I did. I started, you know, got the bug in my head and started researching and found the little low-power FM stick that became hours later. It probably took about 2 years from originally contacting this church in Laguna Niguel, Dr. Hugh Anwell, who had the low-power FM license at the time and wasn't doing anything with it. And it took about 2 years to get the FCC and the city and everybody on board to make the transfer and to switch over the assets. And ultimately, what led to that picture of me and Dad standing up on the roof putting up the antenna. And what I do remember about that is that at the time, and this isn't as true now with the technology, but at the time, especially running as low power as you have to run for our type of license, we would literally move that thing around on the roof 1 or 2 feet, sometimes even less. And then we'd get back in the car and drive. He would drive north and I would drive south. And we would call each other and we'd be like, how is it now? And it's like, well, it was coming in at Aliso before and now it's not. Okay, let's turn around. We go back up on the roof, move it another few inches and try to find the optimal spot for the antenna. We did that probably for a week. until we settled on the right spot for it. So it truly was a, you know, a mom and pop or a pop and boy effort in our case.
It was the original. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, literally.
could that same idea have succeeded in a different community? What is it about this community that allowed this radio station to flourish?
I don't think it could have succeeded in the way that it has succeeded. I mean, certainly there are low power FM stations across the country that are also beacons of their town, but rarely do you find a town like Laguna that's small but sees as many visitors as we do, you know, north of 6 million or whatever the number is right now, and that is part of a huge media market. So Laguna Beach is a small town that sits within Orange County, that sits within LA County, and that's not normally a thing. So when you launch an LPFM somewhere else, you're typically in the middle of absolute nowhere. So the 12,000 people that live in your small town in Texas, for example, those are truly the only people who are ever going to care about your low-power radio station.
Right.
But because ours is adjacent to LA, meaning we can get talent and bands and people interested in it, and we're kind of like in the hub of entertainment, and the fact that we get 6 million people, and the fact that we have a community that cares about its arts and cares about supporting its local nonprofits, I mean, all of that is like this perfect cocktail that makes Laguna Beach the ultimate place to have it. I think it's why, it's the biggest reason why, at least, the station became the most financially successful LPFM in the country.
Right. Again, man, congratulations and thank you. So we talked about 6 months ago when you retired effectively from the radio station. We maintained you as a consultant. But in these 6 months, when do you miss it most? And when do you miss it least?
Let's see. That's a good one. I'll start with least.
Okay.
I miss the criticism the least. Okay. I don't miss having to watch, you know, everything I say and who knows what kind of blowback it's going to have on me or, you know, whatever. I never liked that part of being in charge or that part of being on the air in our hot, contentious community, especially the last few years.
Right.
Definitely my least favorite part. So God bless you, Ed, for, you know, towing the line over there, which is very difficult to do. You know, I miss most of the people. I just miss seeing all of our volunteers and, you know, seeing people that I remember, you know, like I saw Kevin Ware at the Taste of Laguna, and he and I were talking about how we sat at Starbucks nearly 10 years ago, and he was the very first volunteer that I brought onto the station. I just remember all the meetings I had, you know, with Cindy O'Brien sitting on the beach at Pearl Street, with Steve Reed hanging on the, I remember we didn't have anywhere to sit in the station, so we were like grabbing onto the bars that were ultimately going to make up the drywall just to talk about what he was going to do for his show. You know, just people that now I go way back with, who have been with the station now even longer than me. They've outlasted me doing their shows. And I just miss, you know, reminiscing and hanging out with those guys, the lifeblood that makes up the radio station.
And the three shows you mentioned, the three individuals you mentioned Cindy and Kevin and Steve, the amazing people with amazing shows. Again, what a great ear you had for catching what they can deliver and bringing them on board. If you could reach back in time and talk to 23-year-old Tyler, what advice would you give him?
I would say live in the moment more. Mm-hmm. Try to enjoy the day-to-day of this job that's truly a blessing. You know, I'm always so focused on what's next and what the next big thing is and how to grow it and what event we're going to do and how we're going to make money. I mean, all of that's important, of course, but you can't let the moments go by and sit back and enjoy, you know, what they are, just for what they are, rather than just have a great moment and then just let it fly right by. I think having a kid teaches you that. You know, you just got to have to try to commit to memory these special things that happen along the way. And I don't think I did enough of that.
Right. And how is Lily, by the way? How is she doing this morning?
Well, she grows up overnight every day.
Yeah, she does.
Monica and I went on a little weekend vacation this last weekend, and we came back, and I feel like she's talking 10 times more than when we left her 48 hours ago. It, which exactly goes back to my point. Like you can't miss a thing.
Right.
It's crazy. She's so fun. She's so smart. She's so sweet. She's only two years and like 4 months or something, but she feels like a kindergartner right now.
Right. And I can tell you the separation that I feel is that right before COVID was really the last time I had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with her, and several days in a row or whatever. My God, I can't believe how much she's grown in these 18 months or 19 months or whatever. So
it's insane. I can't keep up.
So retirement, and we shouldn't even call it retirement because you've got a new venture. Your new venture is Snippets. Tell us a little bit about it and how your enthusiasm and your approach and your execution is different now than it was 9 years ago, or is it pretty much similar?
Oh, no, it's way less energized, definitely.
Way less.
I work smarter, not harder these days. So Snippet is the world's first short podcast platform. Every show that we publish or partner with is always 15 to 20 minutes or less in length. So it's aiming to tackle the problem in podcasting where more than 60% of listeners complain that podcasts are too long, and more than 90% of listeners say they will not listen to a podcast if the sound quality or the production quality is poor. And that makes up a lot of the shows that you find, because podcasting has become kind of, amateur entertainment, much like YouTube was in its early days.
Right.
So we're trying to just create a professional sounding and concise and tight and radio-like network of shows, utilizing the knowledge and skills I've gained in FM radio, where you have to be concise and you have to be to the point and you have to keep an audience's attention in just a few seconds, in our case. And utilizing those skills to make really great sounding and interesting podcasts, especially from subjects and hosts that you haven't heard from before. So we launched about, I guess, 3 or 4 months ago with 7 or 8 shows. We're aiming to add another 5 or so by the end of the year. So we're both producing our own in-house content, and we're partnering with other hosts as well.
Excellent. And you mentioned that you don't really create most of the ideas. I gave you a couple of ideas. Have you utilized either one of those, or did you just toss them in a wastebasket somewhere?
Well, I don't steal ideas.
Well, no. These were gifts. These were gifts, by the way.
Well, the only way those ideas can prevail is if you yourself host them. So that's what I mean to say. I'm not going to take them for myself.
Right, of course. Oh, well, you can consider them a gift. I offered them up to you as a gift, man. So always consider that. I want to say this, that I'll go back to the very beginning, is that I do love coming to work every day. And I have, since it's been over 3 years, I have loved it for 3 years. And quite frankly, because it is like nothing I've experienced as a host in radio. And dude, I have only you to thank for that. Thank you for setting up that kind of foundation here.
Well, you're welcome, Ed. And that's what you come to realize, after a few years at the radio station. It did take me a little while to realize it, because people become so focused on the person behind it, i.e. me, and I end up in the press a lot, and I end up quoted a lot about what the radio station has done. But it takes a few years, especially as a young person, to realize that none of it is impossible or important or impactful without the people that receive very little to no pay to sit in the chair and sit behind the microphone and make the radio station what it is. And I think when I realized that the station and the people that make it up are far bigger than myself, when I realized that 4 or 5 years in, that's when it really became even more successful. And I do regret, not thanking or appreciating our volunteers in person or via email or phone as much as I could have. But truly, you and every volunteer that I mentioned and more that have been a part of the station for the 10 years, that's what makes it what it is and gives it the reputation that it has. So, and what I'm trying to say is thank you, actually.
Thank you. Founder of KXFM, friend, local citizen, just all around good guy, no longer 23 years old, Tyler Russell, we welcome you and we thank you for being part of the program this morning.
Thanks, Ed.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.